Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Krishna Bahimokoya Bhogavancha Kare Nikatasta Mayatare Japatiya Dhare. When a living being becomes inimical towards Krishna, automatically he desires sense gratification and he is captured by Maya. Krishna Bahimokoya, when one becomes envious of Krishna, Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. Krishna is the enjoyer. All others can enjoy only by serving Krishna. Their enjoyment is only in the service of Krishna. Actual enjoyer is only one, only Krishna. Aham hi sarva yajnanam bhukta cha prabhureva cha. Even everything in this material world ultimately is meant for the enjoyment of Krishna. Now Krishna has the unique position out of all unlimited living beings, uncountable living beings, of being the one who is meant to enjoy. His constitutional position is to enjoy. And the constitutional position of the living beings is to be enjoyed by Krishna. In other words, to serve Krishna. And Krishna has unlimited capacity to enjoy. He has unlimited capacity to do everything. But specifically, he has unlimited capacity to enjoy. How does he enjoy? The living beings, they serve Krishna's senses, but ultimately his enjoyment is in reciprocating loving dealings with his devotees. And the loving dealings, how the love is expressed, is through satisfying the senses of Krishna. Although ultimately his satisfaction comes from appreciating the service activities of his servitors. So Krishna's constitutional position is to enjoy. When the living being becomes envious of that enjoyment of Krishna and thinks that I should enjoy, then automatically he desires, he comes to the platform of material enjoyment, because it's not possible for him to enjoy spiritual enjoyment without serving Krishna. He cannot take the position of enjoyer. He cannot maintain that position in the spiritual world. There's no one there to enjoy him, no one there to serve him, and no one will appreciate such an endeavor. Also, that endeavor to enjoy separately from Krishna, that disturbs the harmony in the spiritual world. Therefore, anyone who has the spirit to enjoy separately from Krishna, he must come to this material world. And there he will have so many material desires, unlimited material desires. Hoya mayar das kari nana abhilash. When one places himself as the servant of Maya, thinking himself the independent, enjoyed, but actually the servitor of Maya, then his material desires, they come so many, unlimited material desires. In spiritual existence, there is only one category of desire. That desire is to serve Krishna. But when one comes to the material world, then he has so many desires. But actually what is happening, he's trying to enjoy, but is simply suffering. What is called material enjoyment is simply suffering. In spiritual existence, everything is enjoyable. This is almost impossible for the materialistic person. He cannot understand anything about the Leela of Krishna. Everything in the Leela of Krishna appears contradictory to him. You see that the gopis, they're suffering separation from Krishna. Or Ramachandra, he is suffering separation from Sita. But that suffering is not suffering. That is ananda chinmaya rasa. That is totally spiritual enjoyment. Because that is rasa. That is the exchange of spiritual love. So even the apparent unhappiness in the spiritual world is actually the highest platform of happiness, which is totally beyond the comprehension of those who are trying to enjoy happiness through the mundane senses and mind. So even the apparent unhappiness in spiritual existence is all happiness. Whereas the so-called happiness in material existence, what to speak of the unhappiness, what to speak of the miseries of birth, death, old age and disease, different kind of miseries inflicted by one's own body and mind, inflicted by other living beings, inflicted by natural causes. There's constantly cause for distress in this material world. Nevertheless, people are searching after happiness. But even that happiness, that is not happiness. That is actually distress. What is perceived as happiness in contact with the senses is simply the cause of distress. Those who have no experience of spiritual happiness, of the happiness of serving Krishna, they think that happiness is something to do with the interaction of the senses, with the sense objects. But actually there's no happiness there. There is simply frustration. But it is the nature of the material energy that one goes on seeking happiness, even though he's frustrated again and again and again. He goes on seeking happiness in this material world because it is his nature to seek happiness. And he has no information of any other happiness. He thinks that happiness is so-called enjoying this material world, suffering. Instead of saying enjoying this material world, we should say suffering this material world. Anandamaya abhyasat, the very nature of the Supreme Absolute Truth is that he is full of pleasure. And the parts and parcels of the Supreme Absolute Truth, they're also meant to be full of pleasure by nature. So when that pleasure, they cut themselves off from the source of pleasure, Krishna, the source of all pleasure. Ramante yogino nante satyananda chidatmani iti rama pade naso parang brahma vidhiyate. The Absolute Truth is called Rama because he is always full of pleasure. And we are also full of pleasure. But when we cut ourselves off from that, then we enter the world of suffering, thinking it to be pleasure, but actually simply suffering. What is that suffering? Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jatareshayanam. Again and again, getting born, dying, lying in the womb of a mother, waiting to come out and survey what is there to enjoy. Different forms of life, in different forms of life, different kinds of interactions of the senses with the sense objects are perceived as enjoyable, just like the hog. He likes to eat stool. Actually likes. It's not simply something we're reading in the book, but he actually perceives that as something wonderfully enjoyable, to find stool. You'll see the pigs, if you go in the field in the morning, they're running eagerly. Where is that fresh stool? They are perceiving this as something very nice. Or they'll lie in the drain with all the stool coming. They'll lie down there with all the filthy smell. And they're perceiving this is something very nice because they have contacted such an abominable desire. Their consciousness has become so much polluted that even though they're meant to be in the spiritual world serving Krishna, they're all spirit souls, they're meant to be in the spiritual world serving Krishna with so in a manner which even the most sophisticated high-class materialist in this material world, for all his high-class arrangements, he cannot even begin to imagine how high-class, how wonderful are the arrangements in the spiritual world for enjoyment. But even the highest class arrangement in this material world, the hog has fallen even from that to the most abominable position where he's perceiving stool and then sex. Prabhupada described that the hog, he likes to eat stool. Then he becomes very healthy, fatty, Prabhupada used to say. By, what is that? Prabhupada was a chemist. So ammonium, some nitrogen hydrophosphate or something. Because Prabhupada is understood that there's something that's very good for health. A lot of healthy vitamins and minerals in the stool, which make you feel very strong. So when you feel strong and you have no knowledge of Krishna, then you want to enjoy sex. So where is the sex? Any body will do. Literally any body will do. You see the little piglets, they're drinking the milk of the mother. And when they drink some milk, they immediately run around the back and attempt to engage in sex. This is hog life. This is the position that the living entity in this material world comes to. Sometimes we see, we're talking about high-class materialists, sophisticated materialists. They think they're very sophisticated. Now in India at the present time, although previously people were thought high-class if they were learned, austere Brahmin was considered high class. If he's very learned in Shastra, if he's detached from material sense gratification. Now they're imitating the materialistic civilization, and they think it's very high class if you have a big house with a lot of furniture. Furniture is also actually not necessary, but they think a lot of furniture and suit and tie and speaking in English and send your children to America for education. These things are all considered very high class and prestigious. But they don't know that by this kind of actually what they're doing, all these high class people, you go to this high class hotel, 5-star hotel, and what are they doing? Meat eating, gambling, intoxication, and illicit sex. This is the high class. This is considered very high class. They have no information of what is actually high class, and because they're in a very sophisticated way, they are engaging in sinful activities, so-called sophisticated, then they fall to the level of a hog or a dog or a cat. They don't know. They think we're very high class. This one devotee told me that when Prabhupada was in Sweden, they brought him to one building that they just rented, and they were going to renovate that and use it as the temple. So when they came in, they opened the door, and one rat went running. Prabhupada told that this was the previous owner of the house. He built the house, he was attached to it, so he came back. But according to his karma, he had to come back as a rat. Karma, how does it work? According to our desires, we get a certain type of body. Now, sometimes when people hear that, they think, oh, very good. Then in future, I'll enjoy nice, beautiful girls. That's my desire. According to my desire, I will fulfill it. So yes, you can enjoy, but not only according to your desire, but according to your activities also. So you can enjoy nice, beautiful girls, hog girls, dog girls, camel girls. According to your activities, you'll get a certain type of body. Then you'll enjoy. And it's the same enjoyment. That they don't understand. This modern civilization is based on sense gratification. They don't enjoy this very simple thing to understand, that if you want to enjoy the senses, then why are you wasting your time in the human form of life? If you want to enjoy sex life in the human form of life, you have to make so many arrangements. You have to have money. In Thailand they say, I see if I can remember now, Mi Nung Mi Pu Ying, means if you have money, you have a girl. Because you can't get otherwise. You have to have money. Either you have to have a house and a place to stay and be married, or otherwise you go to the prostitutes. But either way, you have to have money. Otherwise you can't enjoy. So to get money, you have to work, and working is not much fun. And even then, if you want to enjoy, you have to make so many arrangements. But if you have the body of a hog, or a monkey, or a dog, you don't have to work to get money. You simply enjoy. Your enjoyable partner is there. And there's no restrictions, there's no moral codes to restrict. You simply enjoy. But that enjoyment, that is suffering. That people, they don't realize. This whole modern civilization, they've given this idea, this materialistic idea means there's no God, there's no soul. It means that the only thing to do, the only thing left is to enjoy. They've given such an idea. So that when we tell people that if you go on with these sinful activities in your next life, you'll become a dog or a hog. And they say, very good, very nice, I'll become a dog. What's wrong with that? They don't understand how much suffering is there. Actually, the dogs in the Western countries, they pamper them so much that it seems as if the dog is a great enjoyer. But here in India, now of course they have, to be sophisticated, you have to be just like the Westerners, so you have to have a dog in your home. But otherwise, previously, the dogs are just out on the street, just like last night or almost any night. You'll hear in the middle of the night, the dogs are barking. Making some. Prabhupada said that's, he described why the dogs are barking. Why are the dogs barking? Because they're suffering so much. This sound is simply an expression of their suffering. Prabhupada said they are condemned species. They're simply born to suffer, that's all. But they're thinking it's enjoyment, because the she-dog is there. Have you? You must have heard the cats also. They scream at night. What is that screaming? That is that sound. It sounds so horrible. That is the sound of them enjoying sex life. That is their enjoyment. So this is material life. Material life means again and again born and again suffering. And you see what kind of species, 8,400,000. You see some of the forms of body. Snail, there's so many horrible, some snail you see, they have to cross the road. It takes them 1 hour to cross the road, to go from one side to the other to get some grass. And in the meantime, the car will come and whoomp, and they no more snail, finished. Snake, if you see sometimes here, you see in the rainy season, you'll see so many snakes here in Mayapur. Or you may go to the zoo and see crocodile and the snake. You just see their eyes. How much envy, concentrated envy. So much envious. That means in their heart it's always burning, suffering. All these enemies inside, kaam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsa, this lust, greed, anger, envy, they're all giving pain to the heart. People in the modern age, because they have no information of the original sex life in the spiritual world, which is the cause of all indescribable pleasure, they take sex as the greatest pleasure. And they think that if our sexual appetite can be stimulated, that will give us more pleasure. Therefore, they have advertisements with, this is the modern liberated women, they're now liberated, that their naked bodies can be paraded everywhere. They can go half naked or fully naked almost, and show their bodies and mix up with men freely. The whole society, modern society, is simply based on increasing the lusty propensity. All social dealings, everything. Why people are wearing big Rolex watch, this thick gold. It's all sex. Everything anyone does in this material, anyone does without information of Krishna, it's all simply for promoting the sexual propensity. Because they think, it's viparita buddhi, opposite intelligence. They think that this is the cause of pleasure. But what is that? What is actually the experience of lust? That is dushparena analena cha, simply burning the heart. Simply burning. It is an unpleasant experience. But they take this as pleasure because their intelligence is perverted. Sometimes we say, child molester is perverted. Homosexual is perverted. Of course, if you say this in America nowadays, homosexual is perverted, you'll be probably taken to court, because nowadays it's considered wrong to say that homosexuals are perverted. I remember some years ago I was discussing with Kavi Chandra Maharaj about this child abuse and how this is a very serious problem in modern society, because people have so much lust, it's promoted so much that they become more and more and more lusty, then they have no discrimination. So Kavi Chandra Maharaj was suggesting that just like previously they thought homosexuality was bad, but now they say it's good, it's also good, what's wrong? Two men are willing, they're both agreeing to do, so what's the harm? You shouldn't say anything bad. If you say anything bad, you'll be fined, put in prison. So same way, now they're saying child molestation is bad, and maybe after some time they'll say that's also good. It's good for the child. Gives them some early experience of real life. It may be, you don't know how much sinful these people are. So they're promoting sexual enjoyment as real enjoyment. But actually the result is that they're becoming, as Prabhupada said, modern so-called civilized man is lower than the lowest animal. This is Prabhupada's comment on modern civilization. We're so proud, building big buildings, so sophisticated, so many ways, But what is our actual character? For all our big buildings and educational institutions, everyone should be educated. This is a hallmark of modern civilization. Everyone should be educated because we have such a complex society that we have to, everyone has to know how to use all these complex machines. You see, even door handles, I remember in Bangladesh sometimes I used to see that we'd bring boys from the villages, and when they'd come from the village, the first day they'd spend the whole day opening and closing the door because they thought a door handle is a very wonderful contraption. And then the next day they'd spend the whole day turning the tap on and turning it off because they never saw such a thing. So our modern society, we've invented, now we have so many things. Even the little kid, they know so many things about computers. And all us old people, we're all just complete morons compared to them because we don't know how to do more than one or two little things on a computer. So very sophisticated society. Everyone has to be educated to become a good pawn in the big economic, technological machine so you can do a job, get educated so you can do a job and make lots of money for somebody else. So everyone is educated, but you see, coming out of the school, college and university, animals, worse than animals. Because for all their education and sophistication, what are they doing? Education means you should have some higher concept of life. You should have some ideal. That ideal ultimately culminates in Krishna consciousness, knowledge of God. But they don't even, in the educational institutions, they're not even encouraged to ask such questions. Of course, they study religion, just like they study history or geography, but it's just like, here's religion, okay. That's religion box. That's something to learn about, pass the exam. But there's no experience of God. Modern religion means there's no experience of God given. There's no actual knowledge of God given. So without that, that which we are hankering for, the nectar for which we are always anxious, without that, then we must fall to the level of hogs and dogs and camels and asses because we have no higher information. And especially the modern society is simply promoting you become like a hog or a dog or a camel or an ass by increasing your lusty propensities. Someone is considered very expert in the modern age if he's very good at seducing women. Or a woman is considered very good if she's so-called beautiful and expert in enjoying sex. This is a modern society. Streetve, Pungsve, Chahiratir. This is a symptom of Kali Yuga. One who's expert in sex and attracting others is considered, yes, very good man, very good woman. But what is the result of this? That in your next life, people have no information, that the next life, you simply become hog, dog, or worse. You'll end up as the worm in stool. You're meant to enjoy with Krishna, but you end up as the worm in stool. Or so many horrible species are there. Shrimps, snails, fish. Fish is the lowest species because they're in complete ignorance. They have to live in darkness. First, Jalaja Navalakshani, they're considered the lowest of all species. That species is highly abominable and full of suffering. So you have to go through that again and again, born. And then, after so many lifetimes, again we come to the human form of life. And then we get the opportunity. If we're so lucky, we'll get the opportunity. Just like Prachina Bahi, he got the opportunity. Narad Muni took the trouble to instruct him that this is not your enjoyment. Your enjoyment is with Krishna. So if we are very, very fortunate, we can get this opportunity to come to Krishna consciousness. But if we don't take it, then punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jatare shayanam. Then again and again, we have to be born as hogs, dogs, and all kinds of horrible species. So this we should clearly understand, not just theoretically. This is the fact. When we are discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, we're not discussing some quaint stories. We're discussing the Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam, scientific knowledge of God, Mukta Sangasya Jayate, by understanding which we become free from birth and death. We go to Krishna. This is most important. We have to Shastra Chakshu, see through the eye of Shastra. Pashyanti Jnana Chakshusha, see through the eyes of knowledge. This is real knowledge. We are not these bodies. We are not meant to enjoy with these bodies. There is no enjoyment with these bodies. Enjoyment means to serve the Supreme Enjoyer, Krishna. This we have to understand. At first it may be theoretical, but then by hearing again and again and acting in Krishna's service, then we come to understand, yes, I have nothing to do with this material world and the eternal servant of Krishna. So this knowledge we have to take in our hearts. Dibbo gyan hride prakashita. This knowledge becomes manifest in the heart. We hear from the spiritual master, and by dedicating ourselves in his service, that knowledge becomes awakened in the heart, so that even we move in the world, but we are not captured by the waves of the material world. Particularly how we can be free from the waves of the material world is very dangerous. The waves of the material world are dragging everybody. Go with the flow. That saying is there. Go with the flow. Just like you jump in the river and you swim with the current. But where is the flow going? The flow is going in the sewer, down the drain to hell. So we're not going against the flow. In Krishna consciousness, we're going against the current of the material world. But the current is very strong. The current is very powerful. We can easily be carried away. Daivihi esha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. It is very easy to be carried away by the current of the material world. So how can we be strong to overcome this current? Well, different ideas are given how we can remain strong. One is that we should take the sword of knowledge from the spiritual master. Hear instructions from Krishna and take the sword of take this instruction from the spiritual master and become strong. But particularly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given the idea how we can remain strong, that we can overcome the waves of material life, that the best form of defense is attack. That is one consideration. Another consideration is that not only considering ourselves, that we have to become free from the waves of material life which drag us to hell, but also we have to think of others, because not only me, but everybody, we are all parts and parcels of Krishna, and others are suffering as I am suffering in material life, and Krishna wants them all to be delivered back to his lotus feet. Therefore the formula, the solution, how to get free from Maya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given a very good process. Jare dekho tare kaha Krishna upadesh. Wherever you go, whoever you meet, tell them you are not this body. Give them the instructions of Krishna. You are not meant to even try to enjoy this material world. You are meant to enjoy with Krishna. So go everywhere. Tell everyone. Amar agya guru hoya taro idesh. Make the endeavor, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. On my order, you become a guru and save everybody. Make that endeavor. Then what will happen? The waves of material life are very strong. How can I even think of preaching? I have to save myself. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, if you take this instruction, then you want these waves of material life that will not capture you. You will not be carried away. But rather, punarapi etai pabe morashonga. You will attain to me. You will get back to home, back to Godhead, back to Krishna by following his instruction to preach his instructions to others. So here in this story of Puranjan, we have very, Narad Muni is very clearly giving the situation. How miserable, how dangerous is this material world? This we should keep prominently in our consciousness. That this material world is very, very dangerous. We have to practice Krishna consciousness very seriously. Otherwise we'll again be caught. We see many people take to Krishna consciousness and again they're caught. Because Maya is very strong, and if we are a little bit negligent, then very easily we can be caught. So we should consider this, how to get free from this nasty material life. And how, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you go and preach, hear this, understand it, believe this, that this is the actual truth, this is the fact. Material life is miserable, we have to go to Krishna. And then go and tell others, do something. to bring this to others. And then by the blessings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, conveyed through the parampara system, then our realization that this material life is miserable will increase, so we won't be attracted even. Our realization of the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness, that will increase as we give it to others, because Krishna consciousness is anandam buddhi vardhanam. It is an increasing ocean of nectar that if we give to others, if we try to give Krishna to others, then our own experience of Krishna increases more and more and more. Now this is the meditation we can take up as we come to Mayapur this year and chanted and danced with all the devotees. And now we have to go again out into the world where most of the world, they have no appreciation of this nectar of associating with devotees, chanting, dancing. They have no experience. They think happiness is watching a football game on TV or something ridiculous. They have no experience of what is actual sex. They think this is happiness, but we know this is happiness. If you didn't know before, then surely by coming to this Mayapur festival, we should by now be convinced that this is actual happiness. There's nothing in the whole world to compare. Even if someone gave you all millions of dollars, you can't be happy like that. But if you're chanting and dancing, Hare Krishna, this is actual happiness. Of course, real happiness. Full experience, we've yet to come to that point, but even if we're taking a drop of 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 the ocean of nectar of Krishna consciousness, even that 1/1,000,000,000th of a drop of actual ecstasy, that's more than all the happiness in the material world put together, because there is no happiness in the material world. It all adds up to zero. Put it all together, it adds up to zero. Not only that, but it's not even happiness, it's only suffering. Therefore, being convinced of that, let us now go out and do something to bring others, so that we should all come again to Mayapur as much as possible. Everyone should come every year to the Mayapur festival. Can everyone come? But see if you can come next year and bring some new friends. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Is there any question, please? The question is that class was very nice, but how can we actually apply this in our life? Because we practice Krishna consciousness, but still we experience weakness. We still experience being overcome by the waves of material life. Then tivrena bhakti yoga, very intensely practice Krishna consciousness. If we have lusty desires, then get much engaged in Krishna's service. Then you won't even have time to think of lusty desires. If you're feeling lusty desires, some suggestions. Make a big kirtan. Go in the kitchen and scrub all the pots, scrub the floors. You have some passionate desire. Okay, scrub the floor and chant Hare Krishna. We can overcome. Confirmed. We can overcome Maya by Krishna consciousness. There is no other way. So if we're feeling more harassment from the modes of material nature, then we should engage more in Krishna service, more intensely. Chant Hare Krishna loudly. Pray to Guru and Krishna for strength.
Regarding sex, Maharaj, could you kindly explain or elucidate Srila Prabhupada always talking about sex and the Mayavadis, who are very expert and saying even though the world is full, they're still expert at enjoying it through sex. Could you kind of explain that?
How, yeah, Mayavad and material enjoyment, because the Mayavadis, they appear to be very renounced and very detached. The goal of Nirvishesha and Shunyavad, Mayavad or Buddhism, it's similar. It means annihilation of the individual living being. Now, Prabhupada writes in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya that Shankaracharya, he is Lord Shiva, he's come to, one of his functions in preaching Mayavad is to increase the enjoying propensity. So it seems very strange because he's preaching, don't enjoy, be renounced. So how is it that such preaching actually increases the enjoying propensity? But actually this is what happens. Because the goal of the Buddhists or Mayavadis is to become nothing, which isn't a very relishable goal. Who wants to become nothing? Only if you're totally frustrated that you want to commit suicide, become nothing. So the goal is not relishable, and the means to attain it is by performing severe austerities. So neither the goal nor the means are relishable. Therefore, if that is established as the goal of life, then why even bother? It's just too much trouble. I'm just enjoying material life. Sometimes when I was preaching in some Buddhist countries, where generally the people, they're the most lusty, most uncontrolled, and they eat all kinds of horrible things, and they're Buddhists. So you ask them that, well, don't you know in your next life you'll become a pig, you're eating pig, and you enjoy so many different sexual proclivities? Yeah, I'll also enjoy that. Because they have no concept of spiritual enjoyment, therefore they must fall into material enjoyment, because the very nature of the living being is to enjoy. So if you say you become nothing,